And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business, business, business. Each of my guests will share his or her perspective on an aspect of business. My next guest is a founding member of the world's largest group of social media strategists at Ogilvy, a top worldwide advertising agency. He'll explain the unexpected truth behind earning trust, influencing behavior, and inspiring action from his book, Likeonomics. Rohit Bhargava is a marketing expert focused on how to bring more humanity back into business. In addition to being a founding member of the world's largest team of social media strategists at Ogilvy, he is the best-selling author of Personality Not Included, A Guide to Building a Brand Personality. His award-winning influential marketing blog and other writings have been featured in media globally, including Fast Company, Inc. Magazine, The Guardian out of the UK, Marketing China, and The New York Times. He teaches marketing at Georgetown University and is a frequent, non-obvious keynote speaker on business topics around the world. Joining us from the greater Washington, D.C. area. Hi, Rohit. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being a thought leader in this area and being a guest on the show. And I want to get to the meat of your thesis. But before we do, I want to take a look at the different subtitles that you actually rejected for this book to ask you some questions about that. Now, the book is Likeonomics, and the real subtitle, or the one that the publisher chose, is The Unexpected Truth Behind Earning Trust, Influencing Behavior, and Inspiring Action. Very good subtitle. But you rejected one that I thought was intriguing. You rejected How the World is Solving Its Own Believability Crisis. So I wanted to ask you about that. First of all, what is the believability crisis? And secondly, how is the world solving it on its own?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, you know, it sort of goes to the heart of what the book's about, that you even have access to some of the failed subtitles, because, you know, a lot of times you don't. But I think that the believability crisis, and the way that I described it in the book, was quite simply the fact that it's harder to get anyone to believe anything that you as an individual, but also you as a company, will say than it ever has been before in history. And, you know, there's a couple reasons for that. I mean, we do see a lot of manipulation. Marketing and advertising on some level is to blame, but in politics also, we just have this kind of general disenchantment among people with the people who are trying to convince them to do stuff. And I think that's really the problem. That's what led to this crisis.
No. That's great. That's a good explanation of the believability crisis. But how can the world solve it on its own?
Yeah. So how the world's solving it on its own is by turning back to what I would call a fundamental human value, which is, in a world where we don't trust the organizations and institutions around us, we turn to the people around us to fill the gap. And the people around us we trust based on sort of methods that we've always used, things like likability, for example, and the people who we like and want to spend more time with, whether it's in a personal sense or in a business sense, are the ones who also end up earning our trust and keeping our trust. And so I think that the way that the world's solving it is because we're all turning back to that basic human quality instead of saying, this is an organization, this is a company, this is a brand, and I'm just going to trust them because I trust in big brands. That, I think, is going away.
All right. My guest is Rohit Bhargava, and he is the author of the book Likeonomics. I thought one of the more interesting stories in your book was the 20th century practice of influence and branding. And I want you to really use this story to drive home why we don't trust media, why we don't trust big institutions anymore. It's the story of the Ludlow Massacre in Colorado, Ivy Ledbetter Lee, J.D. Rockefeller, at the time the richest man in the world, and a pocket full of dimes. How did all of those things come together to really start us down that 20th century past of not believing in institutions?
Yeah, that was a really interesting sort of piece of history that I happened upon just by randomly flipping to the History Channel. So, you know, first of all, you never know where inspiration comes from. yeah, but the story is basically that Rockefeller had a moment in time where he owned a coal mine in Colorado, and the miners in Colorado decided that they wanted to get paid a more fair wage. And this was before the time when strikes were a little bit more commonplace, before the time of unions. and they decided that they were going to go on strike. And Rockefeller called in his governmental connections and had the National Guard in Colorado come in to put down the strike. And it rapidly escalated and turned violent and essentially turned into a what history would call a massacre, and that was what the Ludlow Massacre was. Lots of, I believe, about 17 coal miners and their families, individuals, perished in a fire, and it was reported in the media as this sort of big black spot on Rockefeller's record. And so in order to combat that, one of the people that he hired was a guy named Ivy Ledbetter Lee, who's commonly known through history as the father of modern public relations. He was one of the first guys to use a press release. He actually worked for Pennsylvania Railroad, which is the one from Monopoly, back when it was a real railroad. And he told Rockefeller that one of the things he should do to change his image is carry around a pocket full of dimes and hand them out to people on the street. And he strategically made sure that media photographers would be there to capture this seemingly coincidental moment. And therefore, those media pictures would start to get placed and people would change their image and perception of Rockefeller. And it worked. And that was sort of the first moment in the early 1900s where we saw this powerful influence of manipulation of media. And since then, it's just it's accelerated in multiple ways.
Well, it certainly boosted J.D. Rockefeller's image in the public mind because of PR. But did it make J.D. Rockefeller more likable?
Well, in the time, it certainly did, and it caused people to sort of reevaluate the way that they saw him. And I think combined with that, and this is an interesting lesson, is that he actually did do a lot of philanthropic work and real efforts to make that tangible. And so it may have started or been popularized as a stunt, but there were some real efforts that he was doing to make it real. And I think that is sometimes the difference between just doing something great but not getting credit for it versus having it be part of a overall image boost, because that individual stunt really made it real for people.
All right. My guest is Rohit Bhargava. He is the author of the book Likeonomics. But it begs the bigger question, doesn't it, Rohit? Is likability a skill or personality trait?
Yeah, and I think that's a great question. And I think that where I came to was that it really is a skill. It's not something that people are born with, and it's something that people can learn how to do. And I think the real evidence of that, if you think about it, is all around us when we come to situations in our life when we need likability more. And so one example of that might be when you're in the moment of looking for a job. And you got the resume, you put your resume in, and you're competing against X number of people who have pretty similar skills on paper. And that resume, the on-paper stuff, will get you to a certain point, but no further. And beyond that point, people generally, when they're hiring, look for something else. And something else is often described as culture fit. It's described as chemistry. It might be described in a lot of different ways, but ultimately it comes down to individual personal connection. And that's really where likability makes a huge difference in whether you get the job or you don't.
All right. And then you've gone on to define five principles of likability or likeonomics, and you use the acronym TRUST, which is a great acronym given the subject matter, where TRUST stands for truth, relevance, unselfishness, simplicity, and timing. So take us through each of those letters of the acronym, starting with truth. You know, obviously truth is going to be helpful in establishing trust, particularly early on. But differentiate between telling the truth and sharing facts. Because I go into a job interview, I tell them where I worked, how long I worked there, how much money I made. Those are all facts, but that may not be the truth of the job, is it?
Yeah, well, it may not be the truth, but it also may not be particularly important for people. And so I think that the facts are where a lot of truth starts from. But really what truth comes down to, and the way that I described it, was sharing something that might be an unexpected truth. And so having the facts is great, but the moment, for example, that I talked about in the book in 1986, when Oprah stood in front of a live studio audience and told them that she had been abused as a child because that was the truth of her life, was a dramatically powerful moment in her career, because she did things in a very different way than anyone who'd been a talk show host before did. They usually didn't admit things like that. And it created this really powerful bond of trust between her and her audience that she continued, whether she was talking about children, whether she was talking about losing weight or gaining it or losing it again. This was a consistent thing in her career, and it really explains why people view her with a level of trust that's just really unheard of in the media.
It is, and she has become a great influencer of things like books and products and everything else. People believe in Oprah. My guest is Rohit Bhargava. So, Rohit, the second letter in your acronym TRUST is R, which stands for relevance. And here's where I had an interesting paradox, because relevance is a shifting thing, isn't it? Because what's relevant today may not be relevant tomorrow.
Yeah, it is, and it actually has a big relationship with the last principle, which is timing. And I don't want to skip ahead, but you know, it is sort of this idea that being relevant isn't just about having a great message or something that someone is likely to care about because they fit a certain demographic, for example, but also being in the moment when they care about it. And I think that relevance really is a big challenge when it comes to likability, because we all have those people who say the wrong thing at the wrong time or are always focused on themselves or focused on doing the deal or closing the sale or trying to get you to do something or click on something, and we have just a negative reaction to that. And I think that the people, particularly if you consider salespeople, who do a great job with being salespeople, they find the right moments to be relevant, to offer something of value and something meaningful, and when to not do that.
When to dial it back just a little bit. So, Rohit, to really solidify this, tell this great story of Steve Jobs, Pixar, and Microsoft. And it's a combination of relevance and timing coming together in one fell swoop. If you would, tell that story, please.
Yeah, it's an interesting moment. I believe it was 1994, that a lot of people don't remember, where Microsoft almost purchased Pixar. Pixar was bleeding money. It was before the first Toy Story movie had come out. They really weren't known for animation, and animation itself was sort of an unproven technology. But they did have to write some crazy software, and Microsoft was interested. And there were a series of meetings where they got pretty close to Microsoft purchasing Pixar, and the only reason they didn't is because Steve Jobs looked at what Pixar was putting together, and he sort of had this internal reaction that, wow, this is going to be something really big. I've invested a lot of time. I've invested a lot of money that I've basically lost. You know, and I'm not ready to cut it loose and walk away. And he kept it. And soon after that, Toy Story came out, and it became this monumental, successful company. And I think that really it's a testament to a couple of different things. I mean, vision, yes. Timing, yes. Relevance also as well. I think it all kind of fits into that story of why that happened and how it went the direction that it did instead of the other way.
My guest is Rohit Bhargava. He is the author of the book Likeonomics, Unexpected Truth Behind Earning Trust, Influencing Behavior, and Inspiring Action. And the S in your acronym of TRUST stands for simplicity. And this is perhaps the hardest criteria of all, because as you take a look at simplicity, to make something really simple actually takes a great deal of work. So talk to us about being simple and how that helps in likability.
Yeah, so simplicity, you're right, is extremely tough. But it's also the silver bullet, if you will. I mean, there are products and services today that I argue exist solely because they were able to take something and simplify it further than anyone else. Whether you imagine the success of the Flipcam and the one button, you know, push it, USB pops out, you can upload a video, through to Twitter and why Twitter's become so popular, especially among celebrities, because of the 140-character limit, and it's just simpler to use than a lot of other tools. There's example after example of this powerful effect of simplicity. And so I do think that it is difficult, but the reason why I also factor it into likability is because there's a real challenge when it comes to personal relationships and when it comes to relationships with organizations, where we bring so much complexity into it that we prevent ourselves from building that bond of trust. And I think that in those examples, when you are able to bring more simplicity back to it, the trust element goes way up.
It does, but I want to bring you to the paradox that's going on in modern advertising right now, because we're in the era of big data. and more information is being compiled about us and being mined from things like Facebook, our Google searches. All of that stuff is fair game, and marketers are out there, and they have access to this. And you contend in your book that we're swimming in data, but we need to make the data more meaningful. I would agree with that. However, you know, if advertisers are able to track the impact of campaigns, and they're finding out that a campaign is or isn't effective, as they once believed, and I refer to General Motors dropping Facebook advertising for a while. Now they've come back to it, but they dropped it for a while because they thought it was not particularly reaching their target audience. When you have this ability to track the cost per click, the rates, the ad rates that their ads are charged for and everything else, doesn't that lead us more and more down the path of the impersonal marketing and less away from likability and some of the other attributes you write about in your book?
Yeah, I think that the challenge that a lot of companies have is that when they are swimming in all of this data, it's very easy to take a single criteria and make that the most important, even when that's not really the right way to track success. I mean, if you take to use a totally different example, you know, if you imagine that I'm a single guy, I'm looking to go out on a Friday night, and I'm also looking for a job at the same time. Yeah, I would separate those two activities, and if I went to a crowded bar with lots of people hanging out on a Friday evening, chances are I might meet somebody who I might want to have a date with, but I probably wouldn't meet somebody who I would be able to go to a job interview on Monday with. If I walked into that night and I said my only metric for success is going to be whether I got a job interview the next week, that's not really the right place to do that.
Right.
That's not going to be a successful night, usually. So I think that the problem that marketers have is that they walk into a situation, for example, like building a Facebook presence, and they say, if I don't sell X number of products off of my Facebook page, it's a failure. When actually what might have happened is they might have found their new VP of marketing off of that page. They might have found their next big idea for an innovative product off of that page. And so the metrics, yes, there's tons of numbers, but I think that the strategy is the missing link. In a lot of cases, because when you have so many numbers, the easiest thing in the world to do is to look at your number of Facebook fans and say, well, okay, if we don't have a million, then we're failing.
I see. All right, that makes very good sense. My guest is Rohit Bhargava. He is the author of the book Likeonomics, The Unexpected Truth Behind Earning Trust, Influencing Behavior, and Inspiring Actions. And Rohit, people are probably intrigued by what you have to say. They want to learn more about you, learn more about the book. Where would you direct them to go on the internet?
The simplest place is to the website for the book. It's Likeonomics, all one word, .com. So it should be hopefully pretty easy to find. And there's lots of free excerpts and content and all sorts of videos and things that you can access from there. So it should be a good introduction.
That is great. Rohit, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'll be back with my next guest after these words from our sponsors.